All right. 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to start in verse 2. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before God our Father your work produced by faith. Now, this is an interesting thing right here. You know, the big argument. It's a mini little thing right here because it expresses it here so beautifully. A lot of people, you know, they talk about works and faith. Without works, faith is dead. And a lot of people try to produce works in order to earn something with God, and they call that their faith. Some people, through faith, trust upon God, and whatever works they do, is it just shows their faith. Now, which is it? Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? What comes first, works or faith? Well, we see here. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Work produced by faith. And how is work produced by faith? Exactly, trust in Him. It's His work through us. It doesn't earn us anything. He did it. We cannot earn salvation through works. But our faith will produce works because of a submissive vessel given over to God, God will work through. Right? So works are produced through faith. Faith comes first. And faith is only as good as whom you have faith in, and that's God. So we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Your labor prompted by love. Wow. And that love, that word right there, is agape. That is the love of God. The labor that is prompted by the love of God in you. Now, these aren't things you have to do. These are things you do by the nature of God who dwells in you, right? Through that Spirit. That deposit of a Spirit. These are things that you do through love. Work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the riches that... Right, we want to do them. Listen to the riches that are in this verse, though. Not only is it this work produced by faith and labor prompted by love, but endurance inspired by hope. Why do we endure during the bad times and when things are hard? What do we endure? What is our inspiration? The hope that is stored up in us, the hope for the resurrection of the dead, which is why we have this Spirit put inside us. A deposit guaranteeing that God will complete what He began, that He will bring us the resurrection of the dead. So listen how beautifully it works all these things together that make up the very nature of how we walk. It tells us our view and what it is that we do by faith. We continually remember before God and our Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it even tells us where hope has its root. In Jesus Christ, which is the resurrection of the dead. So these aren't just pretty words that Paul is saying. They have meaning. And within this meaning, we can see some clear doctrine, can't we? That work is produced through faith. That labor is prompted by love, agape love, the love of God. And our endurance is inspired by hope. Some of the basic rudiments of the gospel right here, all in one little verse. Isn't that neat? By hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. Now this lines up exactly with 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2. That Paul didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. It is the Spirit that makes God's Word inside us real and living water, isn't it? We are dependent upon the power of the Spirit as Christians. Not wise and persuasive words, not the wisdom of men, but the power of God. So we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words. It wasn't just a concept. It wasn't just an idea. It wasn't good news just because some guy said it was good news. But it came through the convicting of their hearts by the Spirit. But also with the power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. That conviction is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, in spite of severe suffering. And you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. Now, we were just told how the Holy Spirit gave this message through these people who were sent. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For if they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us, they tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. All this is pretty neat. You know, brothers. Now, I want you to see how here in the very first part of Thessalonians that we're talking about something that will appear again in 1 Thessalonians 5, the coming wrath, that we are not appointed to this wrath. To wait for the Son from heaven. Now, isn't this the theme of Thessalonians? Tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Now this has this focus about the end times, doesn't it? To wait for his Son from heaven, the coming of Jesus, whom he raised from the dead, and that's what we're looking for, is the resurrection of the dead. This is the hope that is stored up in us. Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And the wrath of God is that day of the Lord. So, we know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of God, we dared to tell you his gospel, in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives. We are not trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Now notice what he said. We speak as men approved by God. You know, if somebody is going to bring you the gospel, you have to know whether or not they are approved by God. How do we know? How does one show themselves approved? Remember what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. To study to show yourself approved. The scriptures. Inspired by God. And it's the Holy Spirit that speaks through such men, isn't it? It's not them speaking of themselves. That your faith not be in the words of men, but in the power of God. Get it? They speak by the Holy Spirit. So this gospel, on the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We're not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each other, from each of you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Now, isn't that the kind of apostles that you'd like to see today? Isn't that the kind of ministers men who are approved of God. And how do you know they're approved of God? Not only are they proficient in the Scripture and have studied to show themselves approved, but it is God by His Spirit who speaks through them. Think about it. Isn't this the kind of men we need to see today? I mean, when God sends men like this, do you not recognize the authority because God speaks through them? When God sends men like this, do they not show that they are approved because the Spirit does speak through them and because they know the Scripture? And when they speak to you, they're not looking for praise from you. Now look, this right here is a beautiful description of the kind of men that we can discern whether or not men are sent to us from God. A complete description is given to us here if you'll ferret it out, if you'll pay attention to it. So you'll recognize those that are sent by God. We were not trying to please men, but God, who test our hearts. We came to you as men approved of by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Look at these points. All of these are important. They were men approved by God because the Spirit spoke through them. They were entrusted with the gospel message. They knew the gospel. They knew why Jesus had to die and why only He could die for your sin. And they were able to teach it with a proficiency. Welcome, David. They weren't trying to please men, but God, who tests their hearts. They didn't come in with a bunch of just pretty words to flatter you. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. They weren't about winning you over with just pretty words, and they weren't about getting your money. Notice this. These are all marks where you can mark them. Because apostles are coming back. Prophets are coming back. God is sending men who will be like this description. They're going to be men approved of by God. The Spirit will witness to them that they speak the truth. They're going to know the Scriptures. They're not going to say anything to please men. They don't use flattery, nor do they put on a mask to cover up their greed. They're not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. They weren't harsh men. They weren't mean-spirited. They didn't lord power over people. They were gentle. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. This is going to mark those kind of men that God sends. True apostles among us are going to work night and day, and they're going to make an effort not to be a burden. And they're not going to lord it over you. They're going to be gentle. How many of you are starting to see the picture of what a true apostle is? How you can identify them by the Scriptures and the Spirit. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each other, with each of you, as a father deals with his own children. They will deal with you as God deals with you. Encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God. They were encouraging. They were comforting, but not a false comfort or a false encouragement. An encouragement that comes only from God, and a comfort that can only come from God. And they urged you not just to say, they didn't come to you and just say and bring comfort and encouragement with mock words and flattery. Oh, well, you're dearly loved and you're fine and you're okay the way you are. No, they urged people to live lives worthy. They urged people to live lives worthy of God. Remember, they weren't trying to win friends. We weren't looking for praise from men and not from you or anyone else, he said. Urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you unto his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Now notice, this is another mark of somebody that's really sent from God. You may not see it, may not have seen it to the, like this previously, but this is another mark. The words that they speak will be from God. And it will have its effect in you. It will have a changing effect in you, because it's not of them, it is of God. You'll be able to know them because of the fruit that they have in you. In you. When somebody is teaching you, or if somebody is leading you to Christ, do they do it with wise and empty persuasive words that have no root in you? Or is it by the power of the Spirit speaking through them that they come to you in that way, in that fatherly way, with patience, working hard among you to bring you the gospel and to see that you are equipped to stand for yourself in that gospel? When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted. You accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Is that work? How many teachers have you met in your life? How many teachers and pastors and so on have you met, men of God, whose teaching, because it wasn't theirs, it was God's, actually had an effect in your life? You accepted it because it was true and it was of God and it actually bore fruit in your life to help you change, to help you in your relationship with the living God, to help you become equipped. Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. Man. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered with your own countrymen the same thing those churches suffered from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and also drove us out. They displeased God and are hostile to all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles, so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. I want to go ahead and stop there, because I want us to really stop and consider, because we're living in a day when false teachers are everywhere, when false prophets are everywhere, when men who actually speak from God by the Spirit through the Scripture are rare. Now, our trust is not in men, and the first thing one of these godly teachers will do is tell you that your trust is not in men. Now, I want you to remember these different points. There's about 6 or 7 of them that we marked, because you are going to have to make decisions about where it is you worship, who it is you fellowship with, and who it is you allow to have fruit in your life to teach you. These are things that you're going to have to use your discernment to test the spirits. And this is how. Paul gave you, by showing what it was they were to the Thessalonians, Paul has given you a pattern to look for. And I want you to discern this pattern. He said, verse 4, on the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. First point. They must be approved of by God. They must. And what does that mean? We know to study to show yourself approved. They must know the Scriptures, and it must be the Spirit speaking through them. It must not be them speaking of themselves. It must be the Spirit speaking through them by the Scripture. Right? Two, they can't be man. We are not trying to please men, but God. They can't be man pleasers. They can't be man pleasers. Don't listen to a man pleaser. Don't listen to those who use flattery. Three, they're not looking for praise from you or men or anybody else, but from God. They could give a rip what you really think about them as long as they're doing what they're called to do. They could give a rip. Their praise is from God, not of men, and they don't care. They're not looking for you to praise them. They're not looking for you to put them up on a pedestal. They're not looking for you to be their followers. They're looking for you to be, they're more concerned about your relationship to God. Four, they're not going to be a burden to you. They are not going to be harsh and a burden. They're not, in other words, they're not going to lord it over you, what their office is, their authority. They're not going to lord it over you. They're not going to be control freaks. They're not going to be the ones that want to be in control of your life. They want God to be in control of your life. They want to be gentle, like a mother caring for her little children. That's how they want to be. Five, they will become dear to you. They will become genuine brothers with you. They're not anxious only to share the gospel, but to share their lives with you. They are men who will lay down their lives for the flock. Six, they're going to deal with you. They will encourage you and comfort you truly, not with flattery, but they will encourage you and comfort you truly, always urging you to live lives worthy of God. Always urging you to live lives worthy of God. Seven, their words, because it is not the word of God. Remember what he said? Because it's not the word of men. He says, we also thank God continually when you received the word of God, when you heard from us and accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually was, is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. When they speak, the word of God will actually bear fruit in your life, in your understanding, and enable you to continue in your walk with Christ. It will help you get the tools you need to set a proper foundation in the Lord. So it won't be their words, it'll be God's words through them, working in you. You can tell how useful they are to you is if as God is using them to actually bear fruit in you. And you've got to imagine, you've got to examine where you are now. Are you with somebody? Are you under somebody? Are you in fellowship with people who are actually bearing fruit in your lives? Because the body helps each other by the power of God. Those are 7 points that were made here. And all of them mark who is sent by God. Let me go over them real quick before. One is they're going to be approved by God. They're going to know the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit will speak through them to your heart. They're not going to use flattery or a mask to cover up greed. Three, they're not looking for praise from you. Four, they're not going to be a burden or be harsh with you or lord power over you. 5. They're going to share their lives with you and have, you know, a motherly and a godly concern for you. Five. They're going to be blameless among you. They're going to deal with each one of you as a father deals with his own children. Six, they're going to comfort you with real encouragement and comfort and urge you to live lives worthy of God. And seven, they're going to bear fruit in your life. You're going to see real change through the things that God has brought to you through them. Those are all marks of somebody who's truly sent to you from God. And this is how we discern by the Scripture and through the Spirit. I think it's a good place to stop. Any questions or comments? I think this is a very good standard to go by in judging those who are sent to us or who claim to be. They're not looking for flattery. They're not working through flattery, and they're not looking for you to flatter them. Important point. They're not going to exalt themselves. God will. They trust God. Amen?